There's a story told in Buddhism of a samurai who was at the top of his game, top of his game. And he heard that there was an old grand master who knew more than him. And so he wanted to go and learn from this individual. And so he had to go through a series of difficult journeys to get there, climbing a tall mountain, braving wild and woolly wilderness, you know, snow-capped peaks, in order to get to this the house of the Grand Master. But he finally makes it. And when he gets there, he's welcomed inside. So the crux of this passage is really the crux of almost the entire gospel. And that is answering the question, who is Jesus? What's really interesting about this is that it comes right after the feeding of the 5,000, the passage of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Now, the loaves and the fishes appears in all four gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this discussion of the bread of life where Jesus says this only appears in John, in the fourth of the four gospels. And yet they're completely interconnected. When they're talking about multiplying the loaves and the fishes and eating of the loaves, and he's talking about the bread of the bread and life, they're completely interrelated. You can't separate one from the other. And so what's really interesting is when you look back at the passage about the loaves and the fishes that appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the discussion that comes right after that. What happens right after that? In Mark, you have the multiplying of the loaves and the fishes and the feeding of the 5,000, and then right after that, Jesus walks on water. And they have this question, who is this guy that can walk on water? Which throws us back to the time of Exodus and Moses, because Moses, of course, fed the people with manna in the desert. Remember that? They're out wandering, they're hungry, and Moses feeds them. And Moses could also manipulate the waters. Remember that? They were fleeing from Egypt. They had to get across the Red Sea. He puts his staff on the ground, the waters part, and they're able to walk across dry. And so immediately following the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus suddenly walks on water. And they go, no, wait a second, this is familiar. Who is this guy that's doing this same stuff that we have been reading about for hundreds of years? And in the story, in this version in Mark, you have the feeding of the 5,000, and then all of a sudden there's a storm, and Jesus lets Peter walk on water. You see that? Same question. Well, who is this guy that's doing this same stuff that we saw? And so in the version in Luke, you have the feeding of the 5,000, and immediately following that, Jesus sits down with the disciples, and they get right to the heart of the question, and he says, who are the crowd saying that I am? And there's much discussion about this. There's much speculation. They say, well, some of the folks think that you are John the Baptist come back. Some of the folks think that you're Elijah come back, because Elijah could manipulate elements as well. Elijah could make fire appear out of water. Remember that when he had the big contest with the other prophets of Baal, right? He prayed to God and all of a sudden, poof, fire out of water. So they're seeing this guy that can manipulate elements and thinking, well, maybe Elijah's come back, because that was one of the things that the Israelites thought would happen. Elijah never died. He was sucked up in a whirlwind of fire with the chariots of fire. So they expected him to come back at some point. And they said, well, maybe you're Elijah that's come back. That's what people are saying. This question, who is this guy that can do all this stuff? And then he looks at the disciples. He says, well, yeah, but who do you say that I am? That's what the crowds are saying. Who do you say that I am? And they say, we think you're the Messiah. We think you are the one that was prophesied to come. We think you're the one that was prophesied to come. This person that was going to come and right all wrongs and bring God's kingdom here on earth. They're getting closer. So then we see in the Gospel of John, this story about the feeding of the 5,000. And then immediately following, there's this whole discussion of the bread and the life. And it's less a discussion and more an argument. He's actually arguing with the crowds because they keep asking the wrong questions. And he keeps explaining it to them and they keep not understanding. And the more he tries to explain, the less they understand. And the more they demand of him, the more he talks about how he's already given it to them. Why don't they see it? So, the samurai busts in the front door. And he's sat down in the living room, and this wise old master, which you can imagine with, you know, the long beard and the flowing robe, goes to the kitchen to get them some tea. And when he comes out, he has a teapot on a tray with a cup that's full of tea, and he sets it down on the table in front of the samurai. And then he takes the teapot and he begins pouring into the cup. And it, of course, spills all over the tray and off the tray and then onto the table and off the table and onto the floor. And it makes a gigantic mess. Tea everywhere. Huge mess. Stains the carpet. The whole business. So, when the people come to Jesus, it says, first of all, they had been following him around because he kept doing signs by healing the sick. So the people had been seeing him do this again and again and again. They see him heal the sick. They see him heal the lepers. They see him heal the woman that had been bleeding for years and years and years. They see him raising people up that are on their deathbed. And so he's gathered a following at this point, and they follow him and follow him and follow him, and then they end up all at this seashore. And they all sit there and then they listen to him talk. And they're enjoying the time and they're enjoying the company. And at a certain point at the end of the day, they realize nobody's brought any food with them. And they have this multiplying of the loaves and the fishes. And then they follow him again. He goes off to pray and then they come and find him. And they're still seeking, seeking, seeking. And they say, hey, that thing that you did yesterday, could you do it again? We really liked that whole business where we didn't have to do anything and you provided us with food. That was pretty awesome. Could you do it again, please? And he starts talking and saying, you know, I don't think that you're here because you want me to feed you. I mean, yeah, people get hungry and yeah, it's nice to have free food, you know, provided for you. And we're all about feeding the hungry and that's all good. But I think you're here because you're seeking something else. See, yesterday you got to see people that were ill become well again. And yesterday you got to feel a sense of safety that you don't always get to feel in this area where we live, where we're being oppressed and threatened by a much more powerful government than ours. And you got to spend some time with people that loved you and accepted you exactly the way you were. Even though you may not fit the mold of what society says you need to fit. And that was a very comforting feeling to be welcomed and accepted. And you got to see some food that appeared, which was great. It filled the belly. But you got a sense of, wait a minute, maybe I don't have to worry. What if all my needs were provided for and I don't have to worry anymore about death every single day? I think that when you come to me and you are asking me for bread again, I don't think that's what you really want. I think that you want that deep spiritual satisfaction that you got being surrounded by God's glory, being absolutely welcomed as brothers and sisters, not having to worry about death, about sickness, about being an outcast. That despair was gone, and that fed you in a way that you have not felt before. And you want that again, not just bread. And they question him. Well, you know, yeah, okay, well, if you can give that to us, that sense of peace, that sense of deep satisfaction, again, that would be great. What do we have to do to have this? And so he starts talking about how he is the bread of life. He is the bread that satisfies spiritually. Regular bread, like the bread that they had the previous day, it's already gone. It's passed through their system. They're hungry again. He can give them that satisfaction that does not cease. And they say, well, how can you do that? And he said, just like the manna that came down from heaven, I am the bread from heaven that God sends that gives life. And that's when they say, hold on now a second. Wait a second, you're hearkening back to Moses. Now, are you claiming to be as awesome as Moses was? Are you claiming to be a prophet of the same caliber that Moses was? Are you claiming to be sent by God the way Moses, though Moses wasn't sent by God, Moses was chosen by God? Is this what you're really claiming? And there's a challenge on the table. And then they say, oh, really? If this is what you're claiming, why don't you do something to prove it? Show us a sign. And there's the crux of the problem. They say, well, why don't you prove it and show us a sign? And Jesus says, what do you think you've been watching all these past several days? You saw me heal the sick. You saw me multiply the loaves and the fishes. What more do you want? Do you see the problem? They have already seen it, but they don't believe what they've seen. They want more of it, but they don't think that he can really do it. And they're caught between disbelief and seeking all at the same time. So this samurai is sitting there in this guy's living room, watching tea spilling all over the place. And he says, why did you do that? Why did you take a cup of tea that was already full and then pour more into it and it spilled everywhere? And the master says, if you believe that you are already full, you will have no room for anything new that I could give you. See, you see me, you want what I have. You will want to accomplish what I have accomplished. But at the same time, you don't think that I have anything to teach you. Not really, because you've already got it all going on. You are just like this teacup that is already full. But if you come to me empty, seeing what you are lacking, I can fill it up for you. So Jesus is trying to explain to these folks that have followed him all this way who he really is. And it all goes back to Moses, because with the story of Exodus, Moses took the people out of slavery into freedom. And when they were hungry, he appealed to God and God rained down manna so they didn't have to worry about eating every day for 40 years. And when they were thirsty, he took his staff and he appealed to God and God said, strike the rock, and water came out, and they didn't have to worry about water for 40 years. And when they were trying to figure out how they were going to create a society, when they didn't know how to be a society because they'd spent so many years being oppressed and letting someone else rule them, Moses went up to Mount Sinai following God's instructions and brought back the law. And the whole point of the law, all those tablets he brought down, he brought way more than two tablets down. He brought the entire books of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He brought all that down, all the law, with the understanding that if you study the law and you follow the law and you adhere to the law and you enforce the law, if everybody in the society does that, it will be such a beautiful society, shining, that it will be like a beacon on the hill. Remember that? You will shine like a beacon on the hill, and all the other nations will want to come be with you and be like you, and everyone will live together in peace. Now, the book of Leviticus is a very long book, and it's got a lot of stuff in there that's really hard to read. So Jesus does a really great job when he sums it up, and he says the whole point of the law, the whole crux of it, is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the crux of it. If you can do that, society will be just fine. The problem was they couldn't do that. They'd been trying to do that. They'd been messing it up for millennia, and they couldn't get it together despite their best efforts. The people that had absolutely felt like they had mastered it, that they had read it, they had memorized it, they were adhering to it every day, and they were enforcing the heck out of it. Well, those were the Pharisees, and we saw how well that was working. And so this concept of Moses leading the people to freedom and bringing bread and bringing water and bringing the law, which would lead to life and which would lead to God, Jesus says, all that was really important. I am replacing all of that. I am leading you to freedom. I am the bread. The water of baptism is the water so that you will never thirst. I am the perfection and the fulfillment of the law. Everything that that law said a person should do in order to bring harmony in society, that's me. I am the fulfillment of all of that. Look how I move through the world. Look how I interact with other people. Look how I look at the systems and try to change the systems to make the world that shining beacon on the hill. And right in the midst of it is God, and I'm it right here, right now. Well, that was a lot for the people to swallow. That was a whole heck of a lot for the people to swallow. They had to change what they were thinking about what God was sending them, about what God looked like, about what the law meant, about what nourishment meant. And it says, if you keep reading this passage, by the end of the chapter, a lot of the people say, I just can't get behind this. And they left. We thought you were here because you were going to feed us and because you were going to take down Rome. And then all our problems would be solved. And he says, if you think those are the only two problems that you have, Your teacup is full. You're seeing it as full when in fact it's actually quite empty. There needs to be an internal transformation, an internal change in understanding. All you have to do is come to me. I will turn no one away. All you have to do is come seek me with that half-empty cup, with this understanding that we are not perfect. Society is not perfect. God will send you to me. I will reject no one. All you have to do is come to me and believe what you're actually seeing right here in front of you. And you can't do it. But a lot of them did. A lot of them understood. A lot of them looked, realized what they'd been seeing, realized what the Torah had been telling them, realized everything that he had shown them and embraced it. And they followed him and he embraced them. He welcomed all people. And that is the promise that he offered them. All you have to do is see what's in front of your very own eyes. All you have to do is believe what you have seen. And all of these things that you experienced yesterday, you will have forever this sense of belonging that satisfies much longer than the last meal that you ate. This sense of compassion that satisfies much longer than the meal that you last ate. This sense of being able to not worry about where your next meal is going to come from because you're all in this together. This sense of God in your midst that satisfies, you can have that again. You can have it eternally. This fear that went away when you didn't have to worry about death, that can go away too, because I am promising you life. That was the promise that he offered them when they were trying to figure out who he really was. I don't know what happened with that samurai. I don't know whether or not he was able to hear what that Grand Master was trying to tell him, if he was able to actually believe that he had something more to teach him, if he was able to empty his cup, start over, and listen and learn. But I get the feeling that that Grand Master, if the samurai kept fumbling and kept trying again and again, the Grand Master would keep accepting him again and again until he eventually got it right and understood. Can I get an amen to that?